so much. Now, the other issue that we need to speak about, small groups, small group ministry. Did anyone get a chance to read this pamphlet? Not yet. Did you all get a copy of it? Okay, it was also sent by email, so if you don't have a hard copy, you can see it on the church website or by email if you are on the mailing list. Now, the idea of small groups is not a new idea by any means. It's just been into practice in the past something like 30 to 40 years in some churches across the world, all around the world. The biggest church that have utilized the small group ministry is actually in South Korea. And it is one church that started from scratch, and now they have more than 100,000 members, just in one church. Not like a denomination, it's just one church. And they all basically meet in small groups. Okay, there's no one place that can hold more than 100,000 people at the same time, like a stadium, two stadiums. So it's been very successful. It's a method for doing two things. Basically, growing spiritually in my own life, as well as increasing the work for the kingdom. Because every small group or every cell group, as it is also known, will eventually increase and split or divide up into two groups. And this is increased by division. Okay? So, in the pamphlet here, when you read it, you will see like a biblical foundation, how the church, how Christ himself only picked 12 disciples. And he spent a lot of time with them. And this is a very essential concept of small groups, is that a leader who will have with him or with her, maybe 6 to 10, up to 12 disciples or people that they share together. It's not a Bible study, even though you can study the Bible in it. It's much more than a Bible study. It's fellowship. It's being part of a family. It's belonging together and feeling that you are accountable for one another. Also, it diffuses the centrality of the ministry. Now everyone is more or less dependent on Abuna to call every week to see if you came to church or you didn't come to church, how you are doing, etc. But by the time Abuna asks for everyone, maybe 6 months would have passed by or 1 year. But when we are all involved in these small groups, we are all accountable for one another. It's so easy for you to see that, okay, you know, my fellow brothers and sisters in my group didn't show up to church today. 3 or 4 or 5 people. You call them up and you ask about them. You do things together. You go out together. You enjoy life together. You go shopping together. You go bowling together. You go serve together. It extends outside your immediate group. But also you meet regularly, hopefully weekly, in order to have one common theme. Like, for example, the purpose-driven life. 40 days of purpose. You go through it together and you see how you can apply it to your life. You know, how can you be a righteous or a holy person living in the world today? This is a subject that takes 10 weeks, 12, 20 weeks. And you can discuss it every week and you see how that applies to you. Now, in order to reach this, a small group is as strong as its leaders. If we have strong and vibrant leaders, they will be able to conduct this small group ministry very successfully. If we have leaders who are not really sure what they are doing, then the whole system will collapse. So basically what we are doing today is that I would like you to hear from hopefully 3 people who have been part of a small group ministry. And they will give their account on how it has affected them and influenced them. And after hearing them, all we need to do today is just to recruit leaders. We want you to say, I'm willing to be a leader. And then we will start a leadership training meeting or course. Whereas we will meet weekly for about 8 weeks, starting February 24th, God willing, which is coming up in 3 weeks. And we will show you most of the things that you need to know. So you're not going into this ministry blindfolded. You are aware. And the way that you're going to receive your training is through being a part of a small group. So the leadership training is in a format of a small group in itself, so that you will know what happens and how it functions and how it could be an effective way to guide you towards Christ, to see Christ very evidently in your life and to grow spiritually together as a small group. So basically, as we hear our speakers for this afternoon, I'd like you to be thinking, Would I like to be a leader, a small group leader? That's all. Okay, we're not asking you to be a member yet. We're just asking you if you'd like to be a leader. After you hear them, if you'd like to be a leader, we're going to get your information and sign up with Marianne. And hopefully we can be in contact together to start the actual small group leadership meeting on February the 24th. So first off, we will hear from Dalia. How about Marianne? We'll start first. And we have also Ruth, who should be coming right now. So we have Marianne, we have Dalia, and we have Ruth. Thank you, Marianne.
Okay, so I'm Marianne, and I've been a part of So, where I am situated, where I am person would be the same if I had been a part of those two groups. So, thank you. Okay, I'll just hold it. Okay, yeah, okay, I'll hold it. Okay, I feel really techie right now. okay, so it was a women's small group meeting, and we studied several different things. It was all women, and I guess, you know, the study was great, but what I take from the small group is not the study. We did Genesis, we did purpose-driven life, we did a few different things. But for me, it was really the sharing, and just women sharing about what's going on in your life, and having an environment that's safe, where you get beyond that, how are you doing, how was your week, oh, my week was fine, how was yours, it was fine. Like, that's okay, but it's really superficial and spiritual. Like, our lives don't change if we're always hiding behind everything is fine, you know? And just being in an environment where you can share what's going great in your life and you can share what this is what I'm struggling with. So for me, and just to pray for one another, and I know there were times in my life where the way I got through my week is I know I had a group of people who were praying for me and I could, like, feel it. You know, and you're at the end of the week and you made it through that thing and you're like, oh my goodness, wow, I made it through because I had people supporting me in prayer. And with that small group too, I mean, like, it was all women. We had sleepovers. We actually went out to serve as well, like, sort of through a ministry called Urban Promise. We went, we cooked, you know, we just met people. It was lots of fun. Like, I think the thing about small groups, too, is, you know, it's at your comfort zone. If you don't want to share, you don't have to. If you don't want to pray out loud, you don't have to. But there's a community there that's loving you and supporting you. My other small group involvement was I went on a mission trip to South Africa, 2006. And still to this day, we meet. It's not as regular. We meet about once a month. But again, it's like, what is God doing in your life? What's your testimony for this week? You know? And here again, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need prayer for. And I think the reason that that's really helpful is it's really easy to become proud, I think. Like, it's really easy to want to have it together and want to be perfect. And, you know, I think, like, in small groups, a lot of times with the South African group especially, we discover we're all struggling with the same thing, you know? And so, again, like, I really believe God designed us to in community. And He designed us to grow and be spiritually transformed through community. And for me, small groups has been a really big part of that. And I was listening to a DVD, and it said, how can you do a lot of what the Bible asks you to do alone? You can't pray for one another alone. You can't exhort one another. You can't encourage one another. You can't do it on your own, right? So He really, like, blessed us with community. And I feel like I could go on and on, but I'm going to stop. So small groups, wonderful adventure, exciting. But I think being a leader is something you really have to feel called to be and just pray about it and discern. And we have tons of books. So if you want to read some books, or we have DVDs, if you want to learn a little bit more about it before you really commit, like, just come and ask us. But please pray about it and just try to sense, is God calling you to this?
Thanks to Marianne. So we'll hear next from Dalia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dalia, and I'm a small group attendee. I just want to give you guys a little bit of, like, my experience, if that's okay. And I'll pass on the mic to everyone after. So, closer. So I've been with a small group for about 3.5 years, and lucky for me, they're all 50 plus, and I'd have to say 80% of them are like 65 plus. They're collecting their pension. So I am the youngest, and actually, I at first thought, oh, what am I doing with these people? They all have white hair, and you know, they're very old, right? But I realized how God has blessed my life with them and the relationships I have with them. And so for me, a small group is like, I come with them, we eat dinner together, and then we start a Bible study together. And we have like a book that we're working on. And I've been with them for about 3.5 years. And so we get to know each other, and we get to spend time together. We get to pray together. But it's so nice to come in, and you have like 8 people or 9 people that are just excited to see you. And then 8 or 9 people, when you're going through something, will give you advice. Or 8 or 9 people, when you're struggling or you need prayer, they'll pray for you. And so it's like my community. Like, it's my Thursday night group, and I don't, like, miss out. I never, like, just not show up. If there's like snow or rain, I'm there, and they're there. And so we're very faithful to each other because we're faithful to God, and we want to benefit together as we like learn about God together. And the thing that I really appreciate is that they're older, and so they're the type of people that have a lot of advice to give, right? And it's good advice and very godly advice, but also they want your life to improve, right? And they want to see you grow as a Christian and as a person and as a believer. And so for me, it's been very helpful, because when you hear a 75-year-old man say, you know, it's still really hard for me to forgive people, it's like a relief, because I'm not good at forgiving people, but he for the last 50 years has been struggling to do that. Or when you hear someone say, you know, that, you know, God has blessed my life, you know, through this passage or through this verse, it's like, oh my goodness, like God blessed my life too, and we're like generations apart, you know? And so you really feel like you can have, I mean, I really feel like you can have a sense of community, but also fellowship and love. And these are people that I never met before. I didn't grow up with them or see them in church or anything. They're just, you know, nice people from another church. And we get together and, you know, we hang out. We go to the movies together. We eat dinner one night or something. Like, we have, like, a social time. And they bring their walkers and their canes and stuff. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, like, it's just a really good time. And I feel like my life has been impacted by my relationships with them and by my learning from them. Like, God will speak to them, and you know they share things, and it's good to be together. I mean, you know, you have a good time, you have fellowship, you break bread together. It's kind of like a model that I see in the Bible a lot with Jesus in the New Testament. And so if it worked in the New Testament, it has to work here, right? And so and you just grow in love. You know, you don't need to come knowing anything. Like, half the people in my small group don't really know the Bible inside out, even though, you know, they've been a Christian for a long time. But, you know, you come and you learn together, you come and you grow together, you come and you pray together, you know, and you just benefit from what each person brings to the group, right? It's like a team at work. You benefit from what each person's skill set is. And so it's the same thing here with a small group. So I really encourage it. And I pray that you benefit from it. But I also think that don't be caught up in like, oh, like it's all like people that don't speak good English, or it's all old people, or it's all young people. Like, I was very judgmental when I first started this group, and they gave me a chance to leave. And I was like, no, let me just try it out. You know, it may be okay. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me. So I really encourage it. Like, you know, try to have an open mind, try to be excited about it, and try to come with, like, you know, just an idea of, like, coming to have a good time, coming to learn, and coming to get to know people and spend time together. And you can't go wrong. Like, you can't. At least you'll walk away with some good food or tea or coffee, right, at the end of it. So, thank you.
Thanks to Dalia for having a ball. But I guess bungee jumping is off the schedule of this particular group. But you can think of other exciting things. What's the mission statement of small group ministry? To connect people into groups of 6 to 12 who meet regularly for a common purpose and with an identified leader who assists them in their progress towards full devotion to Christ. Now, you will say, maybe as a leader, I'm still struggling with many things. That's okay. Actually, that's the ideal leader, who thinks that they don't have things figured out yet. Because if we start saying, oh, we're there, and we have things figured out, then we probably need to go back to square one. But all of us, and I'm the first one, we still need to learn together as a community and build each other. And a leader is not the one who will speak all the time and the others will listen. Actually, this is a group that will be doomed to failure If you think that you have to speak an hour, the time has to be divided up upon all the members of this group, and everyone is building each other and supporting each other. So your job or your ministry would be to facilitate this group, just a facilitator. You can have a look at this brochure and read more into it. Let me see if there are any questions that you have or comments. How do you feel about it? Like, is it clear what we're trying to do here, or are we still not clear?
Actually, I have two questions. Like, the first question is, how would the other people feel? Like, if you have 12 people, like, someone can stand and say, "I am the leader," and I should say, like, or should we just do like a group and we're all together, and maybe that would be more comfortable. Second question is, okay, when you're the leader, are you going to choose the people in your group, or can have a certain topic for the group and people will join you, or like? She said, like, they were all women before, and like, they have something in common. So the members of one group, should they have something in common, or should you just invite anyone, or how do you choose the people in the group?
Thank you. Very good questions. There is no problem to identify a leader or a facilitator, because they have to know what to do. Any group without any identified leader, they're just going to go into the room and start looking at each other and staring at one another, so what are we doing today? So there has to be a leader. 12 actually is the maximum. Hopefully we can start by something like 6, 7, and gradually it will increase. And if it reaches 12, then this is a time to start thinking of dividing into two groups. Basically, every leader will have an apprentice. Apprentice means someone who is under training. And so that when the group actually splits, then each one of them could be a leader, and then they can take on another apprentice. A leader is not a privileged position, but it's just an organizational position. Someone who is dedicated to make this particular group succeed. It's not that he or she will be better than everyone else. And I hope that this is not the spirit that we will convey as leaders. We are just part of the group. Concerning curriculum, this is something that we'll go over. A group could gather around anything. It could be a women's group, it could be a young mother's group, could be just a variety group, like Dahlia's group, which is people of all ages who are just there to support one another. Usually what we like to say is that don't pick a group that you know all the members already. Like, don't just get all your friends in a bunch and form a group. But let's say you have couples, a couples group, okay, and you are married. So maybe you will connect with some other couples. Get one or two couples that know one another, so they can be like the nucleus of this group, and then get two other couples that you don't know, so they could be feel a part of the church. Because don't forget that this is not a church that will stand on its own. It's just one cell in the whole body. So the group will come and be a part of the bigger church, and you want to make this transition for the people easy. Even some people can choose people in the group that don't go to church, so this will be a means of evangelism and reaching out to others. You don't have to convert all the time the people in their group, but you want to deliver Christ to them. I think this is the message. You want to bring Christ to each other's lives. I think this is the key thing about the small group. Yeah.
Question: is there a leader for the small groups, and how this each leader of the small group will be like coordinating with each other and reporting to who, I guess?
Well, hopefully the priest will be the coordinator. I actually have, I've never been in a group in a sense, but I've studied a lot about small groups. So I know the theoretical part of it. I've taken a couple of full courses in school about small group ministry. And but we have also the support, the practical aspect of those who have been involved in small groups. So I guess the leaders of the leaders or the facilitators, that would be myself, and we have Marianne, and we have Dahlia, and we have Ruth also, and these are the people who are currently involved in small group ministry, and hopefully the training session we will all be present in them, so we can pass on all that we know, and also coordinate the leaders themselves, so we can all be working in harmony. Dr. Alayra.
I have a question
Yeah. 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 What's the lifespan of a small group? Usually, we'd like to see it around a year, even though it could be extended. I mean, if the group are really comfortable with one another and they really don't want to split, but the idea of a small group is to expand the church and to expand the ministry. So it will be a little bit selfish to, you know, enclose ourselves and say, well, this is our group for life. You want others to experience what you are experiencing together. So, I mean, going beyond a year, like ideally, if it's been a year, we've reached 12, we should let go a little bit of one another so we can impart this passion for other people as well who are not currently involved in small groups. Yes, the spirit, definitely. Mira had a question.
Yeah, are you opening up the training to, you know, like people who are undecided, or are you still selecting people who are committed and then you put them through training?
No, I mean, we are still in the very beginning. We encourage you, if you're thinking about it, come out, show up, just get the experience, see how it feels, because I think until now we are speaking about something that is really in the unknown or very theoretical. Small groups have their challenges. Small groups go through stages where they really bond together, and then all of a sudden we call it the honeymoon stage, right? Everyone's so nice, putting up a smile, you know, welcome, so beautiful, you know, all of these things. And then the honeymoon is over. And you know, that's like, you know, the bad side starts come out and, you know, then you get at each other's throats and you come to the stage where you say, you know, I'm not going, I can't take it anymore. You know, these are just, until the vulnerable side of us starts to come out. Until we start to feel that it's not about each other. It's not even about us, it's about Christ. It's about going spiritual and going deeper and tasting what Christ is like. And once everyone in the group starts to get this feeling, this is when they really start to benefit from small groups. So I'm not anticipating that everything will just go smoothly. These are things that have been studied, you know, and written about, and etc. So it's really quite a nice experience. But the bottom line is definitely a gain. So I want to encourage you, if you're undecided, still come. Just get a feeling of what to expect. I think it's a real wonderful ministry.
Okay.
No?
Okay. I just think that in the early stages, the leaders should meet together so that they can like share things that work really well in their individual groups.
Yes.
And maybe it'll work for other groups as well.
Definitely. Yes. So we're going to go through the training, the leadership training, and this is all we're asking for today. And then after we actually start our small group ministry, then definitely the leaders have to come together on a regular basis because they in themselves is a small group. So they can update one another and help each other.
Will the training include how to recruit members?
Yes, hopefully we'll go over everything. How to recruit members, what you're going to discuss, what you're going to do, who to recruit. Hopefully the training will be all of that. So Ruth, please come up and tell us your experience with small group ministry?
Just put it somewhere here.
Can I use this?
Please.
Hello. My husband and I started our involvement as a couple in small groups way back in the first part of our marriage, just about 25 years ago now. And he was on assignment in the States. I can just tell you, we have phenomenal memories still, and pray for those members. There's one person, who an older lady, who we still are in contact constantly in prayer and whatnot. And there's others that we pray for continually. It's like a small family. We've been in touch with the small group idea ever since. And right now we have one in our home that meets every Tuesday night. And what struck me recently about the honeymoon stage, I got over that about the first year and a half, I guess. You know, it's you have some come, you have some go. There has to be a special fit. And you need to realize that if you don't fit into one group, there's probably another one you'll feel more comfortable in, according to your needs and your level of spirituality and what you're interested in. But I must admit, I was getting a little bit disenchanted at one point. And then we were studying John 15. And the two main mandates that Christ revealed in that chapter was, first of all, if you love me, obey me. And of course, there's more to that. If you obey me, then whatever you ask of me, I'll give to you. And the Father and I will come and be with you and live in you. Right? And then at the end, he says, now go forth and make you disciples of all nations. So I've been endeavoring, as I interact with personnel and whatnot, I'm the president of the board of my corporation, and so I meet quite a few people, contractors as well as others. And our house is full of icons. They cannot mistake our Christianity, even though they walk in. Hopefully, by God's grace, they sense God's peace as well. But I've had many ask questions. Are you Catholic? Are you whatnot? And then we get to talking about the Lord. And I've had some attend our small group meeting. They've come. They haven't all stayed. They come. And then sometimes we pass them on, like this one man who came who his mother tongue is Spanish. So we referred him on to a Spanish-speaking group. Who can he can meet people of his own, you know, type and the same language, and we felt that it was better off for him. Although he's still more than welcome to attend our group, but it's a fantastic way to meet mutual needs. Like this one woman who comes to our group in the last 2 weeks. I'm not sure exactly what she's going through. I presume from what she shared is of a financial nature. All I know is she's pretty desperate, and we've offered her help, but. It appears she's had a lot of abuse in her past and needs to be very independent, so we don't push. But we pray for her and whatnot. But she said to us, you know what? Without this meeting, I would not survive. I live to come here and share and receive the love and the support that I get. And it keeps me going all week. And that's wonderful to hear. But anyway, I was saying I was disenchanted. Then I realized, it struck me, this is the lay people's way to disciple. I had a whole different perspective. I wasn't just, you know, answering the questions of the facilitator or leader, who's not there, by the way, to lord over us by any means, or to be heavy on us, but just to facilitate the questions and answer period, to determine what the needs are, to try and get some sort of help and support from everyone involved. But as a layperson, I realized, my God, here's a field. I mean, we can't do this in the major church. People come to liturgy, and afterwards, you know, hopefully we'll stop and say hi and bye, but you don't get to know anybody. Here you do. Because as you get closer and you let people know, look, your needs are my needs. I'll pray for you. You know, what are they? Come meet me. Have coffee with me. We'll share. See what I can do for you and your particular expertise. And if I don't have it, I'll pass it on to whoever I know does have it. And then I realize, my Lord, you know, this is my discipleship. Yes, they know the Lord. But where are they in the Lord? Are they discouraged, you know? And by the love that I show them, and the care and the support I show them, it's like throwing a stone into the water and the ripple effect. And apparently that lasts forever. The love and the encouragement, the support, whatever I can give in their lives, will pass on to their families, you know, their friends, their colleagues. And wow, it was just like, oh wow, I had missed this all along here, you know, missing the point. Of how we can give to others in a very phenomenal way through these small groups. It's a phenomenal work, and if you get your head around the idea, we're here to love others, to serve, to disciple, which means we disciple people for Christ. And whatever God's put into us, whatever comfort He's given us, we give others. Whatever love He's given to us, we give others. Simple as that. And the best way is in the home, because that's the nucleus of Christianity, right? The family. And when people come into our home, they sense that peace, most of the time anyway, that peace and serenity. We try to live in peace. We try to resolve things before we go to bed at night, as the Bible instructs us. We're not perfect by any means. But that's the place that we can also serve God. The church is important. The divine liturgy is essential. But we need to reach out to others. And by the way, it's a great way to invite people home, invite people to a parish assembly. Come to our small group. I had a car accident a while back, and I never had car accidents, you know. Somebody hit me, it wasn't my fault. Anyway, I was down at the reporting center, and I met this Iranian guy. He's about 28, 27. Could hardly speak English. Having great difficulty with the people who were trying to resolve his accent issue. And she was very frustrated with him, so I tried to intervene. And he saw my cross, and he said to me in very broken English, "I am a new creature, creation in Christ Jesus." I said, "Pardon me, what did he say?" "I am a new creation in Christ Jesus." I thought, "Oh my God, this is a new Christian." So I said, "You got to come to our group." So he came several times, and we became his parents. He calls me mom and Maggie dad. His family are in Iran, and he came out. He's a refugee. And we went to his baptism, and it was wonderful. But this is how you start. You welcome them. They may not come. But if they come, what an opportunity to pour God's love into their lives. So I encourage you. It's a wonderful idea. In this brochure, it has all the parameters. It's very, very comprehensive from what we have experienced. So God bless you.
Oops. Thank you so much to Ruth. And I hope that by now we have a good idea of what that ministry is. Read theoretically what it's supposed to be, we've heard practically how it's been functioning, how each and every one of us could be an effective member in the body of Christ, not only within the boundaries of the church, but that should extend outside of the church. So any final questions or comments before we adjourn in peace? Any more comments? Must be very tired by now. Thank you so much for staying and enduring. May God bless you. May God enrich your lives and make you a blessing to each and every person you meet. Again, for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be receiving the names of the volunteers for leadership training. Please see Marianne right after if you'd like to register your name. And finally, Lord, hear us as we pray in all thanksgiving. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, the love of God the Father, grace of his only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.